I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer reporting from Cincinnati, Ohio. When the Emory Theater in the historic Over the Rhine district first opened back in January of 1912, it was considered one of only four acoustically perfect concert halls in the entire country. The Emory Theater, the upcoming home of the Children's Theater of Cincinnati, the nation's oldest, is presently undergoing a major restoration. When the curtain rises in the fall of 2025, it will debut with the latest inspirational technology, including a turntable stage lift, projection mapping, and a large video wall to dramatically enhance the audience experience. Come along and join Artistic Director Roderick Justice to discover the rest of the story. So where are we? Downtown Cincinnati?
Here in beautiful downtown Cincinnati inside the historic Emory Theater. My name is Roderick Justice, the artistic director of the Children's Theater.
And that was open...
1911.
So it was state-of-the-art when it first opened, wasn't it?
Oh, when Mary Emory was approached to help fund this structure, she wanted it to be a state-of-the-art building of its time. The acoustics, the location, and I like to think that we are carrying on that same tradition that Mary Emory would want. She would want something that is state-of-the-art today.
And what was it purpose-built for? Was it concert?
Originally, it was built for the symphony, a place for live music. So there was limited space in the lobby. You go straight to your seat, you enjoy the performance, and you leave. So we are making a lot of adjustments to make sure that we bring our building into what we need today as a children's theater.
So that's what it's going to be?
Yes. The home of the nation's oldest theater for young audiences.
How cool. Mm-hmm. Let's go back in time. I remember reading a while ago that the acoustics of this theater, when it opened in 1911, blew people away.
Absolutely. That is why Mary Emory wanted the best on this project. The acoustics, it was considered one of the top three acoustically pure spaces for a long time. I don't know. It may still be considered one of the top three. Mm-hmm. But what we are doing, we had our acoustician come in and look at the space, listen to the space around our theater, and we're actually improving the acoustics.
Oh, wow.
From adding sound and light locks to the entrances to the curve of the plaster around the proscenium, which, if you just angle it slightly, improves the acoustics.
What's fascinating is, as you know, acousticians today have monitoring equipment. They make little scale models. They suck the air out and put whatever hydrogen in.
Right.
Do all their model testing before they even construct. But back in the day, they didn't have that luxury, and yet they pulled it off.
Yes, they had that knowledge, the knowledge passed down. And I can't remember the term. I'm going to have to go off. What was the curb called? There's a type of curve that the theater has that is
like
also...
parabolic.
Yeah, something that, because this was a series of theaters, and one of the first theaters that didn't have any obstructed views because it was built of steel.
Columns. No columns, yeah.
And it has this curved orchestra level and a curved balcony and then the arch over the proscenium.
So over the years, this theater did a multi-purpose usage, right? There were even movies that played here?
Yes, and it was the Children's Theater of Cincinnati's home originally. It began as a venue for the symphony, and over time, when the symphony went back to Music Hall, this space was used for a multitude of purposes, from the home of the Children's Theater of Cincinnati to showing old movies.
And at some point, it closed, right?
It did, and unfortunately, over time, it fell into quite a state, and an unusable state in certain areas of the building because it was not safe. Not for structural reasons, but for reasons of code. On the gallery level, for example, the steps and the treads and the way the layout was, it just wasn't safe for people to walk up there. Now we are not only bringing this building back to life, but we are improving it and making it accessible on every single level for everyone.
When was the vision and the decision made to rebirth the theater?
About 4 years ago, we sat down with some wonderful colleagues, and they threw the idea out to us. And this was a pie-in-the-sky idea. We currently...
Who came up with the rebirth idea?
You know, it came from our sales and marketing director, Krista Catona-Pilli, who connected us with this group, who had a vision and an idea that they wanted to save the Emory. And many people have tried before. What we bring to the table is we are the nation's oldest professional theater for young audiences. We have a model and a history of success. And those who tried before, they were not a long-standing company that could program a space year-round. We already were doing that, renting the space.
Mm-hmm. So when it's rebirth and kids come back, will it be multi-purpose? Will other things happen here too?
Eventually, we would like this space to be a center for everything family-friendly. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be doing rock concerts at 9 o'clock at night, but we will have a vision to bring in different types of programming. So think about work that's being done in South Korea or Australia that is for the very young, theater for the very young or theater for young audiences that is touring around the United States. We would like to bring them in for a short stint so that we're not just giving them what we are able to offer, but a taste of everything, a taste of theater around the world.
So the world comes to Cincinnati.
Absolutely.
Looping in the kids. That's so cool.
And making sure they're exposed to as many types of entertainment as possible. Mm-hmm. We really want to exercise their imaginations beyond what's in their backyard.
How do you harvest the kids from the schools?
So our talent is actually, that's a misconception because we are a professional theater. So we pay all of our actors. They come in and audition for us and it's age appropriate. Mm-hmm. So if we, for example, are doing Annie, Annie is a child. All of her friends, the orphans, are children. And Daddy Warbucks, he's an adult. Yes.
Oh, that's so cool. And you're kind of like the choreographer, the brains, the glue that binds in this new iteration.
I often think about the Children's Theater Cincinnati as the human body. Our incredible president and CEO, Kim Kern, is the brain, obviously. I find that I'm maybe the nervous system. Yeah, I'm helping to create those jolts of ideas, the vision, per se, to help everyone who are the hands, those who are the feet, those who are the voice, the ears, and the eyes, making sure that they have the tools they need to have a well-balanced vision.
Mm-hmm. When do you plan on opening? ETA for unveiling.
Our plan is to open in October of 2025.
Coming up.
It's coming up quickly, but so is construction is very quick as well. Yeah. Knock on wood.
That's so cool. Let's step forward in time. The curtain pulls back. What's your debut?
I don't know if I can announce the show yet, but I will say that when audiences come to this space, it is going to be an experience like nothing else they've ever seen.
Wow. And how do you do that?
We do that through the incredible storytelling and talent that we already have, paired with technology and systems that we didn't have access to before. So, for example, bringing the story to the audience through projection mapping. So we will have things happening inside the theater and not just at a distance on the stage. It's not to distract from the story. Mm-hmm. It's to enhance the story.
How does that happen? Projection?
So we would have a whole team, new staff members, new contractors, new artists that will be employed by the Children's Theater Cincinnati to create new content and new ways of telling the excellent stories we're already telling, but through the use of technology, we'll have lift systems. So imagine scenery, instead of coming from the wings, it's coming up from the floor, coming down from the sky through automated fly systems.
Talk a little bit more about, I know it's all Dreamtime future, but you're open and running. What sort of shows would you like to line up going forward?
I want theater that speaks to everyone, that is representative of our community. I want theater that inspires young people, that exercises imaginations, and no matter the title, whether it's the most popular title in the world or the most obscure title in the world, the value that the story brings to the audience I want people to come just because they trust us and they know it's going to be a wonderful experience, whether they know the show like the back of their hand, because there's a movie attached to it, or they've never heard of the title before. They will come because they know it's going to be superb.
Again, here we are in the middle of Hard Hat construction for basically another year, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So what excites you the most in the here and now, watching the renaissance and rebirth?
The most exciting moment I have experienced to date was walking into the new lobby, because it was blocked up before, and it was a different section of the building that we had to purchase. And once that opened up and I could see, and not just talk about, we'll just have more lobby space. You know, you can just throw those terms out. Mm-hmm. We're just going to create more lobby space. But to actually see the square footage and to see the space for the first time with the wall down, it was a big, exciting moment for me. And then the other was once the stage was removed and they started excavating down to where our lift systems will be able to bring up all the scenery. That was another big eye-opening moment for me, that this is really happening.
So you're excited every day?
Oh, every day. I'm so lucky to be able to wake up and call this work.
Let's dovetail back to the kids local right here. How do you harness and engage with them through the schools and the school districts?
We are here because the arts in our schools are depleting. And we know this because we survey those schools. We exist to make sure that we're filling the gap that is left by the reduction of arts in schools. So for those students who are coming on their field trips with their buses, we're serving a purpose beyond just entertainment. We're providing an artistic experience that they will otherwise never have. And we're doing it at a young age that will help them get acclimated to being a lifelong lover of the arts. So we are that front door. We are the first people that are seeing these children as young as 3, 4, or 5 years old coming in to the children's theater, experiencing theater, falling in love with the arts so that they can go on. And we don't hold on to our patrons. They grow up, they graduate, and then eventually they will return.
That's right.
When they have children or grandchildren. But they go to the Broadway series or to the other theaters, the professional theaters that are for adults in our region.
Do you do reverse field trips where you guys go out to the schools?
We do. If you can't come to us, we will come to you. We have touring productions that will go out into the schools. They set up a pop-up set. Sometimes it's a one-person interactive show where the students actually get up on the stage and take on the characters with the storyteller. So we're very much impacting the schools that aren't able to come downtown. We're going to be able to still serve those who can't come to us.
In a moment about you, you're a Kentucky boy, right?
I am. I'm from Eastern Kentucky, far east as you can get without falling into Virginia. But I grew up in Eastern Kentucky as a lover of the arts, and that little pocket of the world, you know, it's full of rich history and music and storytelling. But I did not know the world of theater until much later in life.
When did you get it?
I started working at the Mountain Arts Center around 14, 15 years old, and then I decided I wanted to go into theater as a career and went to Northern Kentucky University to get my degree, my Bachelor's of Fine Arts in Musical Theater Performance.
Did you want to be on stage?
I did. That's kind of always been, that was the dream for a while, and then while I was in school, the Children's Theater hired me to perform. Eventually, I was on the other side of the table choreographing and costume designing. And then I went away to New York for a little while because that's what you have to do,
right?
You know? And I appreciate every moment that I had living in New York, and I had great experiences, successful there. But something was always calling me back here, and it was what the impact and the feeling I would receive by being on the stage, but also creating content for the stage, and that just kept calling me back. And so
and when you were called back, did they reach out to you, or how did you wind up here?
It was a very Sex in the City moment. I was going for like my 7th callback for a Broadway show, and it had been raining, and I was in my really cute audition outfit with my tie. I had a flip phone at the time, and a car had gone by and it splashed all over my outfit. And so I was there with mud all over me, and the phone rings, and it's the artistic director at the time, Jack Loizzo, who called me and said, "We want you to come back. You want to be the first associate artistic director of the Children's Theater Cincinnati? We'll pay you." I didn't even ask how much it was. I said, "I will be there at the end of the month." I closed my flip phone, snap, turned right back around, did not go to that call back. I went back and packed.
That's so cool. Mm-hmm. And here you are.
And here I am, yeah.
Moving forward.
Yeah, 16 years later.
How cool. So you're blessed.
Oh, beyond blessed. Mm-hmm. To be able to call this work is, I feel guilty.
Yeah, don't tell anybody.
It's an honor to be able to carry this torch.
So if somebody wanted to learn more about your world, where would you direct us?
You can go to our website, thechildrenstheater.com. And explore everything that we have to offer.
And you got to be on Instagram, right?
Oh, yes. Our handle is TCT Cincinnati.
And Facebook, yeah?
Yep, we're there too. Thechildrenstheater.com. And my name is Roderick Justice, the artistic director of the Children's Theater.
Roderick, what a great day. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This has been a delight. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Cincinnati, Ohio. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York, and in fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.